Lord Jesus, you are the name above all names. You are the name by which all men are saved. You are King, Prophet, and Priest. As we open up your word, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth and understanding. And we pray, Lord, that it will be your words, not mine. So thank you, Lord. We give you honour and praise and bless you. Amen. I'm going to start with those words that came out of Isaiah 61. Today, I want to spend a bit of time just talking briefly about freedom from bondage. We have and live in a world that constrains us. We live in circumstances that don't seem to be fair. And as we open up these words in the book of Luke, we need to remember that there's a scene that has been set. Jesus has just come in from being tempted by Satan. He has been through and been tested in the wilderness. And for 40 days, he was tempted directly by the devil. Would you like to be tempted for 40 days directly by the devil? No. But let me assure you, he does. He comes and he tests us in any way he can. We had a bit of a week this week where anything that could have gone wrong did go wrong every time I sat down to spend a bit of time in this word. And it's hard sometimes for everybody, and I'm not just picking on anyone here. It is hard to understand the triumph that can come through the Lord when we're in the depth of despair. So I'm going to start reading in Luke chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 14 to 21. Now remember, Jesus has just come in from being tempted. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as it was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." Then he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." If we remember the words back in Isaiah 61, there is another line that comes after that where he's closed it, just before he closed the, after he closed the scroll. And it is talking about the day of vengeance of the Lord. Now, we need to understand that vengeance is not to God what it is to us. And that's a whole other topic. I don't want to get there because Jesus stopped here. And in doing this, he was making a declaration that we can be free. We can be free from anything that binds us and holds us back. Do we feel bound, held back, unable to move forward, shackled by the words of men? Do we feel because we're ill? We're not what we were 30 years ago. I sure heck no, I'm not. What is it that is inside of us that the Lord is looking to pull out of us? What I can say is Jesus came to set us free. He didn't come to give us another bunch of rules to live by. He didn't come to control our lives. He came to set us free. And as we are being set free, I'm going to come to the promises that are sitting up here and some of the promises that are sitting up in Isaiah 61. Good news to the poor. Bind up the brokenhearted. Freedom for captives. release from darkness, comfort for those who are grieving and mourning, oil of joy instead of mourning, garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair, loss of shame, the ability to rejoice in our inheritance. And we do have an inheritance in our Lord and Saviour. And at the end of this meeting, we're going to take some time, and we're going to, if you just want to come forward and kneel here at the mercy seat or the holiness table, you just feel free to come and ask the Lord. If you're looking for freedom from bondage, if you're looking for freedom from illness, if you're looking for healing, inner healing, if you're looking for something from the Lord, finding it in Him this day is available to each and every one of us. So as you look at those promises, you look at what's happening in there, is this just fairy floss? Is the Lord laying something out in front of us that simply says, okay, you can have all this, this is really, really good, but I'm going back up to heaven, I'm going to stay there, you guys work it out down here on earth. And we're going to touch on that a little bit later, because the Lord will never, ever leave us or forsake us. I'm just going to duck over to John 6 for the moment. And in John 6, and I'm going to read from verses 35 to 44. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all of those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. At this news, the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? Stop grumbling among yourselves, Jesus answered. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. It is for Father's will that we be drawn to Jesus in every aspect of his life and his ministry. It is not the Father's will that we just be drawn to him on the cross. The cross is the symbol, yes, of what the sacrifice the Lord made for us. There is no argument about that. That is very, very clear in the scriptures. But here it is. We're being told the Father has a plan for salvation that was carried out through his Son, the Lord Jesus. It was foretold in the scriptures. Jesus came to feed and nourish his people. It is the Father's will that we all may be saved. Now, we tend to think of salvation as the saving event. How about we broaden that a little bit and say, okay, what are you saving us from, Lord? And I have to say, in my life, 9 times out of 10, it's myself. Because I do stupid things. I get caught up. I get worried by the woes of this world. I get worried by the pressures that are on me. We went through a very difficult time with the near death of our son. And at that time, as I was standing by my son's bed, I felt the Lord draw the closest to me he's ever drawn, he's ever been. The Lord comes to us, and in the midst of my son coming out of his coma and everything like that, the spirit of despair turned to joy. We had laughing moments with this boy, man, with a broken body. We had times that I will treasure for the whole of eternity. Now, that's not natural. How do you do that? Because the Lord set us free from the worries about death. The Lord set us free from the worries about my son. We knew he was in the Lord's hand, and we could confidently stand there knowing that that was the case. But I have to say, sometimes it doesn't make it easy. And there are many, many scriptures that actually deal with coming to the Lord. But one that we know very well, and I'm going to read from now, is Matthew chapter 11, reading verses 25 to 30. I tend to let the Lord's word speak. You don't need to hear me, you need to hear him. And that's what I'm hoping today. At this time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to the little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, I said a few minutes ago that the Lord doesn't place any control on us. Yet, to many people, a yoke is a controlling implement. Let's talk about what the yoke was in those days. When you team up oxen, you team up an experienced ox with an inexperienced ox. Because when the inexperienced one is in the same yoke, when he can't move forward, he can't carry the burden, the experienced one picks that burden up and pulls it. And this is the picture that Jesus is giving us. Hey, guys, you are not on your own. I am with you. I am helping you in this. Yoke yourself to me. That means accept him. Take him as he is and let him pull alongside of you. We don't have to stand alone. Hebrews 13:5. Just got to find it. Lost it. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Because God has said, 'Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.'" We remember this from the Old Testament. This isn't recorded in the book of Deuteronomy. But this is now refreshed in the promise of Jesus. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Jesus is always with us. We don't always feel him there. There's the famous footsteps poem, which I'm sure many of you know, where the man turns around and says to the Lord, "Lord, there are times where I only see one footprint in the sand, one set of footprints. Why is that?" And the Lord says to him, "My son, that is when I carried you. That is when I picked you up in love and carried you. He is there. He will do this for us." But we don't always feel his presence in the busyness of the world. So how do we know he's there? What promises have we got in Scripture that tell us this? And there are two. There are many more than two, but I'm just going to read two today. The first one is from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory." And 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 20 and 22. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ, and so through him the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. When we hear the message, when we accept the Lord Jesus, there is a deposit of the Holy Spirit that is made within us. And that can't be taken from us. We can let it go, but it cannot be taken from us. So here is the Lord saying, hey guys, I'm with you. I will always be with you. I have left this deposit. And as we know, the Holy Spirit guides us and leads us into all truth. And this is shown in John chapter 14, verses 16 to 21. And this is the words of Jesus. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. In that scripture, Jesus is foretelling the coming of the Holy Spirit. He is saying to his people, you will have this Holy Spirit who will lead you and guide you in all truth. And I can testify that today. Don't always like what I hear, because sometimes I want to go that way and he wants me to go that way. But he does lead me into truth. And I'm sure there's many more here who can testify to that. And as we go through our lives and we look at what the Lord is trying to do in us, it is for the Father, through the Son, directed by the Holy Spirit, we can go on the race that Colin talked about this morning. We can see the finish line and we can follow through and we can meet the path. And in doing that, we are freed from everything that holds us back. Because that's all the Father wants. That's all Jesus wants. He wants us to be free. That freedom came at a price. But that price has been paid. We don't have to keep paying that price. All we need to do is accept that the Lord Jesus is our Saviour, that the Lord Jesus is here. His desire and the Father's desire is that everyone will be saved. Everyone will be set free. And it's the Holy Spirit inside of us points to Jesus, who points to the Father. We understand the will of the Father. How often we hear in the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We tend not to think that the Lord's will is that all might be saved. What a fantastic prayer when you put it in that perspective. What a fantastic life we could have in the Lord if he will let us. And the Lord will set us free because he has set us free. If we go back to Isaiah 53 and we remember the words that are there, the key ones for me is by his stripes, you are healed. Not you will be healed. Not you might be healed. You will be healed. The scriptures are true. The scriptures are faithful. The word of the Lord is faithful. It is up to us what we do today.